Let's just recognize our own light and see if we can move this room by our light, just saturate it with our light, and let's just sit in that quietness of this light and just completely let go and just relax in this splendid light. What?
I need a light.
What if we don't? Any question? Any topic you would like to discuss tonight? Instead of me bombarding, I'm given a choice. Grab it and run with it. Okay, we're going to talk about law of karma. Past whatever many years that I've been here, I try to dodge it, you know, I try to not discuss it for my own personal reason. But is everybody familiar with this law of karma? Yeah, everybody? Yes, no, maybe? I don't want to talk. You can leave me alone, any of us? Okay.
It's right in front of me.
Yes, that's a good law. Law of karma is, who can explain? Is anybody would like to say what they think law of karma is?
Whatever we reap, we sow.
The law of karma is what you put out, is what you receive. And any other comment on that? And how do you think this happens? Well, why is that, you know, how is that register? How is it that what we put out is what we receive? What makes us think?
The level of consciousness of love we have when we go to the next level of life. Uh-huh. And knowing light, we perceive here on earth. And if we went to the midst of complete hell, we know how to get out of the midst of complete hell to a certain spiritual stature.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? The law of karma is a law that is belongs to manifestation, belongs to this realms of being as a human being, and it does not touch God. So as long as we think we are a human being, we will be under this law where it comes with reincarnation and many lifetimes, whatever that was registered in the collective thoughts begins to activate itself to another lifetime. And good is good, bad is bad, which is great, but wouldn't that be better to wake up and not worry about any of them? I mean, it's really good, you know, even Jesus says, you know, do unto others what you want them do unto you, which is perfect. It explains the law of karma. But again, as I said, it's a law in ignorance, even though it's real. It belongs to the realms of existence. Is this clear? You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to emphasize is that the only way to nullify the karma, whether if it's hardship, is to release yourself of body identification altogether. You know, that would really help the situation. And I think past 5-6 years that I've been sitting in different rooms in this institute, health center, we were talking about that. And I just want to bring about the importance of our gathering. It really is. You go to the religious people and religious places, and is a lot of devotion of God, which is wonderful, but there is also hypocrisy, and there is also game playing, and there is also lots of dogma that it doesn't fit anymore. And I'm not saying that because we shouldn't go. Go anywhere you want to. But I'm just bringing it sort of a stripping, a lot of hardship that we would have. So this is doing, going to different churches and different temples and different, unless you go after hour, where you're alone in a glorified room, to me is a little bit of a waste of time. But then we come to, okay, now we're going to concentrate on karma, law of karma and reincarnation, which we should, as a human being, we should take responsibility and say that I was born before and I'm going to be born again as consciousness goes. Therefore, the best is for me to have a loving life because I want a loving life. But what if you have an invitation to say that you can end that? You can end that altogether, because in some lifetimes you'd love God with all your heart and you'd serve the humanity, and it's your turn. And he showed up in a small, long room.
Not quite long enough. Are you trying to tell us that it's our turn?
No, I'm saying it's our turn,
right.
Me included. So the thing is that to look at the world as a day-to-day with our five senses, like most people do, is solving the problem in the level of the problem, Stacy. And this has been done for eons of lifetime, and it has only made it bigger and bigger and bigger. They find a cure for something after, God knows, millions of dollars have poured into research, and then something else comes up. You know, you fix one thing and something else goes wrong. Why is it, do we, any of us, stop and say, wait a minute, we have all these intelligent scientific people, why the world is where it's at? Because it has nothing to do with solving the problem. It is to finding the source of it and releasing it. That is the spiritual path, where we don't say 2 and 2 is 4, we say 2 and 2 could be any number. You know, so there is a freedom in that. Is that when a mind does not get set by the limitation of hearsay or the society, is a free mind. Right, Tony?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a freedom in that.
But they think you're crazy when you're like that.
Well, then that would be the price we have to pay. Oh, well. But you know what? It's not like this, because when I went to Atlanta, we were invited to a lot of gatherings to give talk, and believe me, I never knew who's going to show up, what is their background, what is their religion, where they are coming from. I just showed up. And the thing is that when you are open to receive the truth and give the truth, somehow it adjusts to the people's understanding. You might take one thing out of here, and you might take another thing out of here, and Bob might find another one. And so my point, I guess, tonight is never live an ordinary life. Never live a life that caters to having comfort, food, and just have security and some place to lay down and be comfortable and all of that. I'm not saying go against it. What I'm saying is that one that wants to wake up does not see the world like others do. We just don't. And look at yourself, say, 5, 10 years ago, and see how this understanding has expanded. So, and I give you an example. A friend of mine in Atlanta, she's a very, very service-oriented. I call her, she has a heart of gold. I don't know if we should register that. Heart of gold. And she told me a story about how she was helping a mother and a child. And she went on to elaborate how much they needed, and she just jumped into their problem, and she tried to do this, and then backfired, and then she did try to do that, and it just backfired. And I had to stop her. I said, listen, what we see as bad, what do we know? Maybe it's not bad. How do you know what kind of karma this mother has in past lifetime? How do you know that this mother did not give the same problem to the daughter as she's getting it back this time? The best we can do is tell the mother and daughter to, if they're religious people, is to repeat the name of God. If they're on a spiritual path, to say, sit quietly, trust, and trust. Because any other way, we are interfering with people's karma. And how do we know what is good for them? Do we really know? Even Mother Teresa didn't get into people's divorce and all sorts of things. She just saw a dead person almost dying in the street, put some water and gave him some medicine. You know. So for those of us that we think that we know something, we have to empty ourselves of that. We really don't know. We really don't know what is good. We really don't know what is bad. So what is the best place to stand, as far as I'm concerned, is in the middle, not here, not there. And if anyone comes to our orbit or our conscious, we just go into silence and give them that tranquility. A good example of that was a dream that Hans had, and I never forget, and I've been given it as an example. I don't know if he remembers it or not. The United States was just going into the Iraq and having a war, and I remember Hans saying, because, you know, he stands for peace, and I really, really think it's a very noble act to do that. But on his dream, he was standing right in the middle. Remember that dream? You were on the wall. I remember it because it made an impression in me. He was standing in the wall, and he said they were here, they were the peacemaker, here is the war maker, and they were sort of having conflict with each other. And he said somehow the, you know, I could have been a target, but it would miss me. And this is another example to say that being in this world and not of it is a position that I think gives the most freedom. It really does give the most freedom. And we're too anxious to give advice, you know. Somebody calls us, oh, you should take this, you should do this, you should go there. Why don't we just, when they share our problem, we say, huh, I don't have a clue. But I know what can remedy it. Could you be quiet for 10 minutes? Could you just be quiet? Maybe you get the healing from within. Maybe you get an answer from within. So then the world does not become a blind leading a blind, right? Or we don't become a concept of good doers where we just forget the sight of our own reality. These are just the things that I have experienced as you know, as something that really liberate us, and I know that so many people are burdened by their family, by their mother, father, sister, brother. I have a brother that, you know, had passed away. I have another one. I have only two brothers. The other one is ill and hasn't been able to work for 2.5 years. And the situation that I feel most helpful is just to stand in my ground and say the world is not my business and they are not my family, but they are no different than me either. You know, they are no different than me either. So, and then that's what Richard and I do. When the thoughts of my brother